Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link. It's time for another conversation with someone interesting from the internet, like we do every single week, people, at the round table of dim lighting. This week, it is Anthony Padilla and Ian Hecox, the comedy duo better known as Smosh.
I've heard of them.
I've heard of them, too.
A few times. I've actually met them.
Well, I mean, you know, we're friends, but, you know, they're very busy guys. So after we were both guests on an upcoming epic rap battle of history, you know, we both shot all day, and then we got here at the round table of dim lighting to have a conversation. Now, you probably know that Smosh is the second most subscribed personality-fronted channel on YouTube. Over 17.5 million subscribers. And 3 billion views. I might have to break out the word powerhouse. Powerhouse.
Again?
Like powerhouse
you like
squared.
Bringing that out sometimes. Well, you know, this is one of those situations where probably everyone who's listening already knows who Smosh is. And if you just happen to be one of the few people who don't know who they are, you probably have seen one of their videos. By accident, you've seen one of their videos. I mean, that's, they've got a view for almost half of the world's population. You know, but it isn't just their main channel. Those 3 billion views, they've added to that. They've got Smosh Games, a channel with over 4 million subscribers. They got an animation-based channel, Shut Up Cartoons, over 1.5 million subscribers. And I'm not making this up, Link. They have a Spanish-dubbed channel. Never watched it, I can't say. El Smosh. El Smosh, with over 1 million subscribers. And they have their own magazine. They've got a magazine, like a magazine you can go into a magazine store, like a physical magazine, Smosh magazine, and buy.
I was in Walgreens and I perused it.
You perused it?
I didn't purchase it. I'm going to be honest. I mean, I don't purchase magazines. I just look at them there while my wife is like getting other stuff. And I'm over here like a tween looking at a Smosh magazine.
Look at that 35-year-old guy. He's into Smosh magazine.
Forbes called them a new purely digital breed of celebrity, and they've been ranked in the Hollywood 30 under 30 2 years in a row by Forbes magazine.
Okay, so they've been putting out weekly sketch-based comedy for many years. Of their 3 billion views, 100 million of those views comes from their most popular video called Beef and Go.
Hi, I'm Anthony Padilla. Are you the kind of person that just loves meat but is always on the go? Well, I know I am. For years, I've searched for an easy way to eat steak and other meat products with my on-the-go lifestyle. But products like Quickie Steak were too inconvenient, while other products like Meatball Necklace were just plain messy. That is, until I found Beef and Go.
They're also known for their video game themed music videos, like their Legend of Zelda rap, which is approaching 50 million views.
Yeah, my name is Link Bane. I'm more well known than Lil Wayne. Oh, you thought my name was Zelda? That's a fucking girl's name. I saved the world like 15 times to save the princess from demise. And I do it all alone with no help and no advice. Hey, look, listen, an annoying fairy. I'd rather be forced to listen to cunts than Katy Perry. I think it's time I got some recognition, don't you think? Legend of Zelda?
True that!
Okay, so being a comedy duo ourselves and talking to the most successful comedy duo in the history of the internet, and I don't think that's any exaggeration.
No.
I was really interested in talking to them about their friendship off camera. You know, in the ways that we relate to each other, there's conflict, there's lots of coordination when there's two of us. You got to be on the same page. That's not always going to happen. I was curious how they dealt with that. I think at a certain point, this Ear Biscuit approached a counseling session.
Yeah, it does get into counseling at one point.
I don't know who was being counseled. I think
it went both ways. But yeah, you know, we've got this, what we feel like is some insight into what it's like to be a comedy duo. So we ask a lot of questions, have a lot of conversation just about what that dynamic is, including what is it like to, you know, have this big brand that is this thing that people understand as Smosh, that's also a real friendship. How does that relate to their lives as individuals? The fact that they live in different cities. We talk about a lot of stuff related to that. This is a duo interviewing a duo.
And they have relationships that they have on the internet with their girlfriends differently. They approach
different degrees, to different degrees, yeah.
Also to different girls.
Yeah, that's good. We've always maintained that. Always have a relationship with the different girl, each person in the duo.
Right. I mean, we get into a lot of things here, so see if you can learn something new about Smosh. Like I said, we're glad to call them friends. Also, collaborators. They were guests on one of the very first episodes of our half-hour show, The Mythical Show, of last year, 2013. So,
and we're happy to have them on Ear Biscuit. Here's our Ear Biscuit with Smosh.
Thamosh. Thamosh. Your water there.
Yeah.
And this is a new water.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel the need to be more hydrated?
Well, I came in with this water. I didn't know you guys were going to be supplying.
Personally, whenever there's more than one water ball in front of me, I'm like, I better drink like that one so I only have one.
Maybe I'll double fist it.
Yeah.
Well, no, Link, you is need obsessed. To conserve it. Link is obsessed with being hydrated. No, seriously.
That explains your wonderful skin.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it the hydration or the urination?
I think my constant urination is what explains my obsession with hydration.
Hydration leads to urination. But you know that if you are properly hydrated, like if you flood your body with water.
You'll die?
No, you will. You can die from a water overdose.
Have you done that?
He's once died before, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't fun.
But from water intake.
Your body adjusts to
somebody,
it, though.
Somebody did that.
That's real.
There's a radio contest in our city, Sacramento. Yeah. Somebody died. It was a hold your wee for a wee.
That was my aunt.
Oh.
I bet they don't still do
that. That's not funny. I'm like looking at you, trying to read your face. Like, is he serious?
I hate to make light of water deaths.
That happened in Sacramento. Because I have heard about it.
Yeah, all the radio DJs got fired.
Yep.
And they don't do the contest anymore.
No, I don't think they do.
Was that before or after we went on that radio show?
Was there a pun in there?
On a different channel.
You said we went on the show.
We would like to play. That was the only other time that we really went on a radio show and held mics up to our face.
This is our first podcast.
Yeah.
Wow.
We are honored, guys.
We're breaking the seal.
Taking that podcast virginity, and let me tell you, it sounds sexy.
Now they have to listen to it.
You should have never given us headphones to hear what we sound like, because it's way
there
too
is,
much. Power.
I mean,
I can turn it off here.
No,
I need to hear it.
No, I sit around and just talk to. I do this when Link's not here. Sometimes I just come in here and just talk to myself because I sound so much cooler.
You do.
Everybody. To myself
in person, you're just like, hey guys, what's up?
Hey guys, my name's Rhett. I'm 7 feet tall.
Is your philosophy to pee before you do something important, because I always find that I really have to pee right before
always,
I do something.
I just realized we hosted the video game awards at South by Southwest, and I realized that I am a nervous shitter. Like I right before I go on, I suddenly have to go.
Yeah,
and I trace that back to like every time we've done a live thing at VidCon. That I thought maybe I just ate something bad, but like literally every time I do like a live thing, I get way nervous.
You know, I'm kind of similar. I like psych myself out. I'm like, do I have to pee? I better go pee right now. And then for some reason, I always convince myself that I'm cold and that I need to really make sure my hands are warm. I think that's some
and
kind
you
of
pee on them.
I don't know. Just keep them in my pockets, and I'm like, they're okay. I don't know. I think it's some kind of a mental disorder.
Well, but no, it's natural to evacuate before you do something important. I mean, that's just a biological reality.
It's like flying, just to lessen the weight kind
of
thing.
Well, it goes back to your ancestors that needed to run after animals on the plains for long periods of time. It was like, listen, I'm going to be chasing this gazelle for the next 2 days. I better take a big old deuce right now. So I could. I'm serious, man.
You know, that's
believe
was,
it.
Is my
I
first.
I always try to evacuate as much as possible before I did like a running sort of race.
Uh-huh.
The worst for me was my first day of school every year. I don't know why.
What?
Oh, man. Yeah.
I was so nervous. I don't know why.
At the school? Or
no, before?
Yeah. You don't want to go at school.
Well, I think you're highlighting two differences between me and Rhett. I'm kind of curious where you guys fall on this. One is, right now, I always get in an argument about this whole pee thing, because we're about, like, if we do something live on a stage, I'm like, I'll be right back. I got to go pee again. And he's like, no, Hold it. Harness that.
No.
Harness no. that. Use that. Use that tension for performance.
No, because then the whole time all you're thinking about is how you have to pee.
No.
But and then if he has to pee, the whole time all I'm thinking about is how he has to pee.
It can be contagious too. Yeah.
But the second thing, you mentioned being really nervous before your first day of school and having to evacuate. I have always been that way too. I pristinely remember every school year just being a nervous wreck before the first day of school. Whereas Rhett, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I know we've talked about it that the first day of school is always like your best day ever. Like you cannot wait to get there.
Really?
So excited.
Did you get like the new school clothes and everything? You're like, oh, I gotta show this off.
But there was no anxiety. So you're saying you... Like, that was always a nervous thing for you?
The worst day of my life every year was that first day of school. Like, just the nervousness.
Kind of an irrational, it's just this, a new beginning, the unknown.
It's weird because I, like, wasn't even really scared. I just was like, oh, crap, literally, like.
Right.
I was never nervous about my classes. I was just like, when you first go into the class and everybody chooses what seat they want to sit in, nobody ever like chose a seat next to me.
Me too. I was always stoked whenever they had those preset seats.
But that's also carried over, which now I'm like grateful for it. Nobody wants to sit next to me on a plane. So like,
you think you just give off that vibe?
I guess so. And I guess I gave that vibe off in school too.
You do
so,
give off that vibe.
So now it's actually paid off. So like, I don't know if I'm just like really boss at selecting like airplane seats, but literally like the entire plane will fill up and I will be the one with the last remaining empty seat next to me.
What's the look on your face?
I don't give anybody a look. I'm just doing my thing.
How do you do it?
You look forward like a serial killer.
You're doing something. You just don't know it.
You do it.
Oh, I mean, sometimes I'm you know, stabbing a doll.
Right. A doll that looks like just your average airline passenger.
Yes. Yeah. That does. That'll do it.
Sometimes I'm just, I get nervous, so I just evacuate right there.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. The evacuation, that probably creates a radius around you.
That guy has crapped his pants. And he's stabbing a dog.
I'm not sitting next to him.
I bet his girlfriend is going to be here any second now.
How many people are going to start trying that now?
A few. It's not worth it.
Yeah,
trust me.
There's a downside.
To Ian, it's very worth it.
I'd rather sit next to a stranger.
It depends on the duration of the flight. Okay, it might be worth it to crap your pants.
You might have a little bit of extra leg room and arm room, but you've just crapped your pants.
Well, you've lost some room in your pants.
So, but you're not the type. Are you also the type to get anxious like before some sort of live gig? I mean, the whole YouTube
just live
thing.
Stuff. I'm
we're in so much control.
Yeah.
That then when you have to go into this live format. First time I saw you guys live was at YouTube Live. You know, you guys had to introduce something.
Oh man,
that on stage.
That was only like a 3 second spot, and I was so nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was because
it's a different world.
Because it's live, and you can't edit it before it goes up.
Yeah.
Yourself.
I'm really terrible with like just being in the spotlight. I don't really like it.
Yeah.
So like, you know, even like in class, like when you had to go around and say who you were, like some classes, like you say who you were and like what you like to do. Like my heart would be beating like 10 people away. Like they go down the line. There's like, I'm like 10 people away and I'm like, what am I going to say?
You're like practicing your name under your breath. Kind
of. And then it gets me. I'm like, and I like snow.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, but you know what I just realized is the fact that everyone is so nervous, they're not even listening to what anyone else is saying, so you're nervous for no reason. Like,
no, there are a few people who aren't nervous. Like, that's what I'm saying about Rhett. Rhett was a guy like, man.
It's just the Rhett that's listening, that's it.
Rhett's like, he likes snow? What's his problem? That's weird.
Well, I was nervous, and I do get nervous when we do live stuff, definitely. But I wasn't thinking about, I got to say the right thing, so they'll think the right thing about me the rest of the year. Mm. That's what I was thinking. I was like, this is the chance. Right now, you got to say, I can't say I like snow because
there's so some other snow fans there.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
know.
Well, hold on. For the record, who doesn't like snow?
Yeah, come on.
If you live in Sacramento, I mean, it's...
Yeah, you like snow when you don't live.
It's like
in
a novelty.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay, so we're talking about class. I think this is as good a segue as any into how you guys met. So I assume that there's kind of this normal story you tell.
Yeah, have you read the story? Because it seems like you kind of are on the right track.
But you can give us, I knew that it's kind of in middle school that you guys
close,
met, right?
Sixth grade.
Sixth grade.
Okay, so that's the first year of middle school in my mind.
For some people.
Oh, maybe it is now. I think it's more common now. But where we grew up, it was sixth grade was...
elementary school.
You were the big kids in the elementary school.
So that's what I assume. Yeah, I've read the Smosh lore. So I guess this is the form for you to say what you actually remember, not what's been written in a Wikipedia entry.
Well, all we remember now is what's been written.
Right. Trust me.
You tell the story enough times, and that's all you remember.
It could like slowly change. I'm like, so I was raised as a girl.
I love snow. You don't even like snow.
No, I probably don't.
Right, because if that's what your wiki says, that's what you believe.
But you do... I guess you do find yourself telling this part of the story. So I don't, I want you to tell it in a fresh way.
Okay. Right.
What's a fresh way in a high pitched voice?
Maybe in Japanese or. Okay.
I'm just acknowledging.
I was going to start, but then that would have just been incredibly racist.
I'm just acknowledging that this may be the thing that you have to say a lot. And then people are like, okay, we got it.
Yeah.
We'll quote how many views you get and subscribers you have, and then that'll be the thing.
Yeah.
But take us back there. All right. What year is this? Sixth grade.
It was a nice sunny day.
Like, what was that?
In 1998? I'm guessing it was 8.
Something like that. I just moved to that town.
He was a big-ass loser because he was a new kid.
I was a new kid. And then,
moving from where?
From basically just a different side of the town because my parents didn't want me to.
It's actually where the Smosh House is now.
Yeah, I grew up in an area that was okay, but the high school they had like gang problems and stuff, so my parents didn't want me going there and becoming a Crip or a Blood.
They didn't have a snow liking gang that you could be a part of.
So
you
had true, I never checked.
You had to
Maybe
get
I
out.
Should have gone. But so we moved. We moved on to the other side of the city where they had this decent high school for me and my sister to go to. So, went there, sixth grade. Met Anthony.
The first time we met was in this class. So
yeah,
did we merge like classes? Because it was our science class. Were we in the same class? And then I don't know. It was weird. We had to go to a different.
Yeah, I don't know.
Different room.
I just realized that our teacher kind of looked like Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, he was a creeper. He was a creep.
But it was a guy.
Yeah.
It was a guy, yeah.
But, well, we went to this different room to be with a different teacher to learn science. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it was this woman teacher. I don't remember her name. I can't say I remember her
name. I don't remember
name.
Anything. That's what I was saying, that I'll believe anything I read on our wiki.
And was it the type of, was it, okay, we are lab partners, and now we're best friends type thing? Or no, it was just like, an acquaintance, like, okay, I met you and along with everybody else.
Yeah, we were paired up, and it was the first time I ever really talked to him because he was just the new kid.
Yep.
And we were paired up, and they're like, all right, you're going to be drawing a dump, a landfill.
Really?
I don't know why, but that's where we met, drawing a landfill.
It was all about landfills and stuff.
Yeah,
learning
so
about landfills.
For some reason, we thought it was the funniest thing ever to draw. Gas masks and flies and poop.
Flies flying all over.
It kind of goes back to the conversation we all had right at the beginning of this thing.
Right. It's interesting that we met. Of course, it was first grade. Our Wikipedia dictates to us that I'm just trying to connect.
Okay, I get it. You guys are better.
I see.
You guys know each other longer.
I'm not saying that.
What do you freaking do?
And it was well before 1999 or 8 or whatever that was.
But when we met, we were held in from recess and being punished, and we had to color pictures. So we were both drawing pictures,
but not the same
of
not
mythical
the,
beasts.
The same picture.
And you were both in trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a landfill.
Yeah, you guys look like some serious. Yeah.
We were the only two. The only two.
We were the only
in.
Kids in trouble.
Yeah, that day. Yeah.
Wow.
Did you guys beat each other up?
No, we were like.
Or did you just beat kids up so bad that they like didn't?
What'd you get in trouble for?
Profanity.
On the desks.
On the desks.
You guys? Profanity?
So that's why,
yeah.
Right in front of us, we have a desk that we can draw on right
Yeah,
here.
But you can't write profanity on this.
Are we going to get in trouble? Are we going to have to draw mythical creatures?
Yeah, we'll put you in detention. So were you drawing the same picture? Like,
it was one paper, and we were both drawing over each other. Yeah.
Do you? I mean,
I
where,
wish I had that
landfill.
Piece of paper.
Think about that.
Yeah.
What could you eBay that for?
I think
probably
he was joking. They
bucks,
were separate landfills.
$10. No, we really were drawing.
No,
on the
it
same
was
paper.
The same landfill.
It was
man.
The same paper. Yeah,
Yeah.
With the same poop that we were both drawing.
Tag team drawing.
That's pretty sweet.
Spiral. It was a spiral poopy.
Basically, the way we did it was I held Anthony's hand and we drew it together.
Yeah. Like a Ouija board. You just like, where do we go now?
We even closed our eyes. I'm like,
are you drawing the poop? No, it's not me.
So do you remember thinking, boy, I like the way that guy draws a gas mask. I respect him creatively.
I was the one that drew the gas mask and you were the one drawing the flies. I don't know why. But we laughed till we cried. It seems like something that's not funny at all, and it's not. But for some reason, as sixth graders, it was the funniest
thing. Maybe we drew really hilarious gas masks and flies.
Well, that could happen.
I could still remember it for some reason.
I can't.
I can still remember it.
What do you remember, though? Was this a beginning of a wonderful friendship?
You know, it's like you know, when you go to prison, you know?
Oh,
it's
like, we all know about it. You guys are the troublemakers.
It's a survival thing, you know. So you gotta get in there and you know,
you gotta pair
stake
up.
Your claim and you know, try to find.
I was your
survive.
Claim.
Yeah,
I
guess,
was your claim.
I guess I was.
You were
I
his affiliation, your, school affiliation. Yeah. Hey, I have a friend now.
So I joined a like basically a gang, and I didn't even know it.
I was your bitch.
Yeah, that's pretty much what was happening.
So to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, yeah, it was just like a group of friends that.
And then
were
I took you,
him.
We initiated you into our group of.
Yeah. And some
four
one
loser
of them,
friends.
Like one of them, like, hated me up until
which one
was
that?
Freshman year.
Which one was that?
Ryan.
Ryan hated you?
He said he didn't even like me until like a couple years later.
I don't think Ryan liked either of us.
I don't know. Yep. But, yeah, so we just stayed friends until, you know, just hung out, played GoldenEye, played Perfect Dark,
yep.
Played Halo.
I mean, we're
working through the video game years. That's pretty
good.
That's how I define like the years in our friendship
right.
Is
the video
what games
game years.
We played together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were pretty good friends, but never like super close until high school, and I got my driver's license and a car before Ian, and he needed a ride home, and it just so happened he was kind of on the way home, so. He bummed rides off me.
Carpool, huh?
Yeah.
It was totally for carpool reasons, right, Ian? No, he bummed rides.
His amazing Ford Probe.
89 Ford Probe.
Anal probe. Yeah.
So, okay, so you're in a group of friends.
Yeah.
And did it quickly become like, okay, yeah, we're in this group of friends, but, you know, the two of us, we're besties. We're best friends, or we're just two guys in a group of friends. Like,
probably,
how was that shaping up?
There was, I mean,
I'd say that we were just two guys in a group of friends.
Yeah, there's definitely times that it seemed like we weren't included on some cool kid things because we were
kind of losers in high school. Yeah, so so sometimes our friends would do some stuff with people that were kind of too cool for us.
Yeah,
I don't know if we necessarily weren't invited, but we were like, all right, let's do.
Maybe I wasn't listening when they invited me. I was just in my own zone.
Yeah.
But who knows? But yeah, so, I mean, Anthony started the website, Smosh.com, sophomore year of high school. So that was all of our friends. All of our friends were kind of participating in the forum on
back
that.
In 2002.
Yeah,
that's
back in 2002.
That's all the Smosh.com was
forum.
For your
I made a
group
forum
of friends.
For my group of friends, yeah.
Yep.
To discuss what?
Probably... Girls.
And
I don't know.
I really don't know, honestly. We were just like, oh, what are we doing this weekend? We're doing this. Oh, man, it'd be funny if we did
just
this.
Talked about random stuff.
What games were you guys playing?
Yeah. Man. It was weird. And then...
And why Smosh?
Smosh, well, that was something that
that's
our friend...
another story we tell a lot.
That was something that our friend Ryan, the one that
supposedly
hated me,
didn't like
for,
didn't
for
like
a
either of
you. Did he really hate you? Have you confirmed that recently?
He told me that. He was like, I hated you for like when I first knew you. Like,
right.
Okay. Thanks for letting me know that.
Why would he tell you? Ryan would always. Yeah, that's
he's a very
funny.
Honest guy.
Very honest.
So basically, he went to a Blink-182 concert back when that was a thing. And he was bragging about how he was in a mosh pit, right? And
yep,
he accidentally
and he was,
said smosh pit.
Yep. It was, Ryan was talking to me. He was like, I was in the smosh pit. It was insane. I was like, did you just say smosh pit? He's like, no, I said mosh pit. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure you said smosh pit. So it was he and I walking over to a group of friends, and I was like, Ryan said smosh pit. Bah, bah, bah. I don't know why we thought that was funny, but we did.
And it just kind of became
so
a,
it was an inside joke for all your friends, exactly. And it became the name of the forum.
Yep.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then I was this super nerd that basically built websites all the time. So then I was like, man, I don't have any websites to work on. I want to work on something. I was just in this web design class. I was like, oh man, I should make this site called, what am I going to call it? Call it Smosh. It's for me and my friends.
Mm-hmm. That was a good idea.
And then,
yeah,
it kind of panned out.
Five-letter word. Like, you can't get a five-letter word URL anymore. Like,
and how did that progress to you guys making videos?
Well, first it started out, we were into, like, before YouTube, there was this place called Newgrounds, and it was this, they hosted Flash animation.
Okay. So, like,
that site's still around, actually.
Yeah. It's not as popular.
I have some really terrible animations on there.
We were both, like, really interested in, like, Flash animation.
Oh, you kind of sound like Jenna Marbles for a second.
What?
Flash. She said, I think she'd say Flash.
I don't think she would.
I think she would say the word Flash like that.
Maybe. Yeah. Let's bring her in. Jenna? Yeah, so, like, we were just into that kind of stuff, and so he started hosting Flash animations on our website, on his website.
Yeah, and you helped pay $2 a month on the server fees.
All of the friends pitched in $2 a month to pay for the server.
Oh, early investors,
yeah,
huh?
Exactly. And so after high school,
the gimmick was I got to keep all the ad revenue of the $20 a month.
And so when we graduated from high school, all of our friends were going off to college, and Anthony and I were going to go to community college just in our city. And we were just like bored one day, we were listening to like the Power Rangers theme song. We were like, that'd be really funny if we made some stupid video of us lip syncing it. And
okay.
Yeah, that was before YouTube. That was before we'd even heard of it. So we hosted it on
Smosh.com.
With
our own bandwidth.
Yeah. So then we displayed it on our MySpace page when that was a thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a genius idea. I was like, well, okay, I'll put the video playing on my page, and then I'll put a box below it that lets you copy-paste the video to put on your page. But the thing is, whenever you copy-paste that and put it on your page, there'd be another box that would say copy-paste this. And that was like an early form of viral sharing, I guess.
So it was it was coding that you developed.
God.
That showed like the HTML.
Exactly.
That was the great thing about MySpace. You could put whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So then we made a Mortal Kombat theme song, lip sync thing. And
well, so the Power Ranger one did well.
Some people watched it.
Our friends liked it.
Yeah.
Our friends on MySpace.
I don't know.
Our 100 friends.
And then like because we had the Flash animation on our website, there's a few people on the website that saw it as well.
That's right. So it got out to a few other people that weren't just our close friends.
So you followed it up with
Mortal Kombat.
And then somebody stole that video and put it on YouTube before we knew what YouTube was. And somebody was like, hey, did somebody tell us or did you just search it?
So I was bored searching on Google. I was like, oh man, wouldn't that be so cool if like someone had like been talking about our video or something, you know? So I did a Google search and I found it on this site, YouTube.
And I had like, what the name was.
It had like 100 views or 1,000 views or something like that. Which was like really huge back then.
Yeah.
You know?
And
we couldn't remember what the website name was because we were like, oh man, what was that site? We should go back to it. And we couldn't remember a few days later. I thought it was
iTube.
I thought it was iTube.
Yeah. iTube.
iTube, man. Can't find that iTube anymore.
Yeah.
I will interject at this point because people may be making this connection out there, listeners of ours. So, interesting. Obviously, the one parallel is we're both duos who met when we were younger, bonded over drawing, and then got into YouTube because someone else took one
That's
of our.
That's what happened to yours too. I want to hear.
So, I mean, this must be the way all YouTube duos come together, though.
Maybe in the early days, we
start asking around us. Oh yeah, same thing happened. Video got stolen, put on YouTube, and then got all these views. And that was when you're like, oh yeah, we should be doing this
what was
on
that
purpose.
Video?
It was called Pimp My Stroller. I think that's a different
thing. Guys, that's a good video.
You didn't include your kids in your video parodying an MTV television show with a stroller. Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
Where did you guys put that video?
On our website. We had a website.
We had a rentlink.com.
And then, that's another parallel. You guys had a URL or a website
It wasn't a forum, though.
Yeah. What was on there?
It was just, hey, let's put our
videos of some of the videos that we had out there.
Okay, so it was like the same exact situation.
Yeah, but were they spreading around or was it just most of your friends that watched it or what?
Yeah, they were definitely not spreading around.
Oh, okay.
But that one got a lot of views, just like what you're saying. It's like, I got 1,000 views on this Mortal Kombat thing.
Yeah.
So then you decided, now let's do Pokemon?
Yeah, so what...
That was the next one?
I mean, we uploaded... We asked the guy to remove the video and we uploaded our Power Rangers and Mortal Kombat videos to YouTube. And at that time... you could ask people to, like, people could basically suggest videos to be put on the homepage.
There's a button on the bottom of every video that said suggest for homepage.
Oh. So we asked the small following that we had to hit that button for us.
Well, the follow, it was more like on our AIM instant messaging profiles. It was on my away message.
So
I hosted a poll on MySpace. I said, what would you guys like us to see us make next? And then Pokemon won by landslide. There was like really stupid. There was like Captain Planet and Inspector Gadget theme songs, but Pokemon blew everything away. We're like,
and
awesome.
You were just lip syncing these.
Yeah, I mean, we spiced it up a little bit because it wasn't.
We threw
just
in jokes.
It was a little bit more than what people were doing at the time, because a lot of people were doing lip sync things.
Right.
So, yeah, like the Chinese Backstreet Boys.
Do you remember those days?
That's way back.
I did not see that one.
Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah. They were wearing the basketball jerseys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You're like, we got to do a little
that
better than
those guys. That was
our
competition. That was our competition. They were like, they were the benchmark for us.
Right.
They were huge, and we were like, if only.
So what was the second turning point? I mean, if the Pokemon thing was like, oh, we have an audience.
Mm-hmm. Second turning point is definitely when YouTube said, hey, we could pay you some money to do this.
And how far down the road was that? Was that a year later or just months later?
That was like 2008.
It was a year and a half later. I think it was beginning of 2007.
So a year and a half, it was just you continued the same pattern.
Yeah.
Gained popularity, but it was still just like goofing off hobby. And you were still in school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just something that we thought.
We partnered with this little tiny website that paid us a little bit, so we had enough money to pay for props and stuff like that. So we weren't losing money making the videos, but we definitely weren't making anything. But yeah, that turning point is what.
YouTube contacted you directly. That's how they did with the first.
Yeah. It was like 10 people. It was partners. Like 10 people. It was like Lisa Nova, us.
What the
Ryan?
Buck? What
probably.
The buck? Ryan Higa, probably. I don't remember.
Yeah, probably Ryan. Yeah,
and they're like, "Hey, we'll give you a cut of the ad revenue."
Yeah.
So how did you know? I'm thinking about the way that we worked once we started thinking about having this, and this is kind of the way that we always were. Is we would have these like strategy meetings, right? Regardless of what it was that we were trying to do together or trying to accomplish. We kind of come together and be like, all right, we got to figure this out. It seems like there was a point at which you guys had this goal that you kind of came together and said, let's accomplish something together. I mean, do you remember what that process was like? Because, you know, going from being friends, two guys that are just hanging out, trying things for fun, to two guys who are like, hold on, this is like a thing. We are a thing. Trying to accomplish something.
Yeah,
remember
we were
that process?
A brand. We are Smosh. It's a thing.
Yeah, it's we were just two guys just making videos whenever we felt like it, once every 2 to 4 weeks, just kind of hanging out, not planning any growth. We're just like, let's just keep doing the same thing for the rest of our lives. And then we met up with Barry, who's the president of our company now, and he's like, you guys should think on a big scale, like, make more videos. And
and how'd you meet him, and where'd he come from?
It's funny, he emailed us.
Yeah, he emailed us. He was the
former president of...
Was he president or vice president?
Ex-vice president of Disney Animation, I think it was.
Yeah, Disney Television Animation.
Sorry, Television Animation.
Yeah.
So the funny story, should I tell?
Yeah, go for it.
He was like, hey, I really like you guys. I really like, you know, he said, hey, I'm, you know, ex blah, 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 Disney, blah, blah, blah. I really like your guys' voice, and I think we should meet up and have a discussion. And then I was like, he likes our voice? He wants to do voices for animation. I didn't realize that he meant he liked
comedic tone.
Our comedic tone, yes.
We learned very soon after.
Yeah.
Like in the meeting.
But, yeah. Ian always blames
like, wait, no cartoon? Yeah. We're not going to be the next voice of Nemo?
Lilo and Stitch?
You came with like seven different voices.
I'm like, I practiced my deep voice all
time. I practiced Quasimodo.
Ian always blames me though for it. He's like, Anthony thought it meant that. I'm like, you were there with me in the room.
Maybe he's right. Maybe he does like our voice.
I just stay quiet and let him say the stupid.
But why did he say voice? Singular. Trying to figure that one out.
He meant one of us.
But yeah. I mean, it's If I were in your shoes having that meeting with Barry, I would be very, I mean, I guess we had meetings like that where it was someone saying, okay, I want to team up with you guys. I want to partner with you guys to make you a bigger success. We'd be very skeptical and have a lot of trust issues with that.
Oh, we definitely were.
You know, it's the type of thing, I mean, someone's got the right credentials. Obviously, I think we can look at your work and I think infer that once you involved, maybe it's Barry, maybe there's even more people from there, mm-hmm. that there was a turn, a corner that Smosh turned that was like, okay, all of a sudden, it's not just limited by two guys, but there's a lot going on. There's multiple channels. There's all these things. But at that moment, it must have been a huge business decision.
It was.
All of a sudden, you're not just two guys making funny videos, but you have to be businessmen. And you just can't, you know, it's not like you can just turn around to your parents and say, hey, what do you think I should do?
Right. Especially at the time, no one had ever done anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
You have no one that could be a
mentor.
Well,
the thing is, he worked for free for us for a long time and kind of, I don't know if it was on purpose, but he really proved himself. And we just
earned your trust.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, he got us thinking on a level that we weren't thinking of at that point. Because, you know, we were just two dudes and all we cared about was just making a dumb video every once in a while and, you know, didn't really think about long term and that kind of stuff. So he got us thinking bigger, like, you know, growing out the website, you know, producing more content.
Convinced us to get a camera guy.
Yeah. Convinced us. Yeah. That was the thing. It's like why are you trying to do everything when you should try to focus on the creative stuff and have, you know, people do
basically all the things that we could teach someone. We should teach someone, and all the things that are like super, you know, whatever, creative or whatever that only we could do is the only thing that we should be focusing on.
So what specifically did you decide to focus on and then leave everything else to somebody else that you're going to entrust through Barry? What were those things that you decided to hold on to?
Writing and acting, and we did a lot of the directing. Mm-hmm. We did almost all of that. All of it back then. We handed off things like...
But not editing?
Actually, yeah, I did all the editing, too.
You kept editing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that still
so
sounds like...
It.
We did, it was a... I mean, this is the process that we're talking about. It took years us to let go of certain things. Like,
we're very slow
like
evolving.
Getting props and, you know, making the props and... You know, casting
camera,
people,
yeah, a producer to cast people, get all the props, and make
well,
sure
let's
we have
do
a
sound. What about fast forward to now? How does it work now? I think we're fascinated.
We have a very well oiled machine going on now.
I mean, not. I mean, you guys live in different towns. I'm fascinated from a professional standpoint. What do you guys focus on, and then what do you entrust to other people? Mm-hmm. How do you guys kind of divide up the labor? What are your strengths?
Well, now it's like
between the two of you.
It's a lot better process now.
Yeah.
Because before, like, Anthony was doing the brunt of the editing, and
Ian was doing the brunt of all the writing.
Yeah. So luckily, like, we've taken the editing. I mean, we still like you should see the notes that. Especially like Anthony gives, like, because we have an editor and we send him a bunch of notes. Like
I give a novel of notes, but he's been editing for us for 3 years now, so he's kind of almost learned how our brain works, and he'll like just go there now.
But now it's like Anthony and I can really focus on like writing
the
together,
writing and brainstorms,
and it's just a lot better process now.
Every week we're on probably 10, 12 hours of writing and brainstorm calls, just with each other to flesh out the next video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your release schedule is one major video.
We have a crazy
week.
Release schedule if you really break it down, because we have the one major release a week. Then we have the bloopers and behind the scenes, which we also still have a big part in giving all the notes on that and stuff too. Mm-hmm. And that's just for main channel. And then we have our second channel, which is we're only in one video a week on there now, which is either our lunch vlogs or just a random type thing that we do together.
Which is still called Ian is Bored for some dumbass
reason. Even though it's
been
both of us on there for the past 3 years or
something.
It was
like 3 years ago, we were like, well, maybe, you were like, maybe I should be in these videos too. I was like, okay.
And then I was like, we should call it Smosh's board. And it's like,
okay.
Yeah.
We'll get around to that later.
I never changed it.
I never changed.
It's all Ian's board, but
yeah. If you trace it back, like you'll find like maybe 3 years ago, it was actual videos where it was just me.
And you were actually bored.
I was actually probably bored.
For the first three, maybe.
And then, but on the subject of like, work, videos we make, like it's the second channel, then also
two videos on our gaming channel,
Smosh Games, which we oversee a lot of those videos, give notes on those videos.
So we're in five videos a week basically.
And
but you still live in Sacramento,
correct?
And you live here.
I live down here, yeah. So it's crazy because every 2 weeks I fly up and we shoot in Sacramento. We shoot a batch of our sketch videos. And then we have some of the vlogs that we sometimes shoot every once in a while whenever I come up there for that. And
every other week?
Yes. And then, And then Ian flies down here every 2 to 4 weeks and we shoot a bunch of gaming videos. And then, we appear on things like this and guest spots on other YouTuber stuff. And
So how'd you make that decision? I mean, like, how'd you make the decision and was it an easy decision? And has it been difficult?
Oh, for like the move?
For the move, yeah.
It was a difficult decision for sure. I really want to live down here. Ian really wants to live in Sacramento. Yeah.
Anthony was like, I think I'm going to move down to LA. And I was like, okay, we'll make it work. Yeah. And then an hour later, I was like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? But we figured it all out.
A little over a year ago, and the process has been getting better and better.
Yeah, we figured it all out.
The initial conversation was you saying to Ian,
"Yeah,
I think I'm going to move to LA." It was like an announcement.
It was
pretty much.
Yeah, I mean,
I was hanging out at his house. We were finishing editing on a video.
I felt like if I'd asked him, he would have just been like, "No."
So what went into that decision?
I really like it down here, and I don't know. I just feel like I wasn't growing in Sacramento. I don't know. It's a really small town.
So it wasn't like love or something?
No, I mean, I have my girlfriend or fiance. I always call her girlfriend. I feel like fiance is such a douchebaggy word.
Yeah, like means you're going to marry her.
Upset all the fiancés in the world.
It's just because it's like
not to mention yours.
No, we both agree to call each other girlfriend, boyfriend. It's just weird saying fiancé. I feel like I have to say it with a French accent or something.
That was not French.
Okay, how would you say it?
Let's not get on a rabbit trail.
say it. Yeah.
So you moved, was she living here?
No, she lived down here when we met, and then she moved up to Sacramento to be with me for a while, and then she really likes it down here. And I mean, that helped in the decision, but most of the decision was me. Like, I felt like even if I wasn't with her at the time, I would have wanted to move down here.
Well, it's interesting.
It's okay if she's the reason. You can say that.
No, I mean, she's definitely
part of
the reason.
It'll win you some extra points. Yeah. Just saying.
Well, she's totally the reason.
There's an interesting dynamic to this. Link and I, when we decide like where we're going to, like right now we're still renting, but hopefully buying houses, at some point. Mm-hmm. There's a conversation that's just like, well, okay, well, whoever buys the house first is kind of telling the other guy where he's going to live in town.
And dictating where the other guy lives.
Right, because LA's a big place. And
Compton.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Rhett, I've bought a house in Compton.
Right. So
I've also signed a lucrative record deal with Death Row Records.
So that would be a very difficult thing as I think about how we would relate.
What's the nature of the conflict you have? Is there creative conflict? Is there also interpersonal conflict? Like, do you have a fight over the idea about it's funny to fall off the bike? Do you also have an idea,
No, we don't really ever fight. It's always, sometimes it's like...
There's usually a reason for one person to be the correct one.
Yeah, they will get, that's why we
How
don't
do you
argue.
Decipher?
We both lay
Explain
out...
Explain for
we
a
both,
long period of time.
We both lay out our discussion, and one person's eventually like, all right, either it's not a battle worth having, or I agree with you.
We certainly a lot of our arguments end in whoever's voice raises the highest.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, we keep
control. He must feel, it's not his idea must be, he must have more reasons. It's, he must feel more strongly about this because his voice is louder than mine.
I don't think I could be in a creative partnership with Rhett because, like, just stature wise, he would just scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, I didn't say tallness.
I'm intimidating.
He's like, he's not falling off the bike. That's not funny. And then he just tower over me and say, okay. Okay, Red, just don't squash.
Well, I mean, but we do it like Link and I will sometimes get into an argument that if there's someone else, like some of our staff are in the room,
they leave.
They just kind of just sit there with this look on their face, like, all right, okay, how long? They'll start sweating. How long is this going to last?
You know what we do a lot is sometimes. A lot of times when we're writing, we'll have our buddy Ryan on there with us, and he's a writing friend. He'll help to throw ideas off of just so we get a new voice.
He's a middleman, so,
basically. So we're like, we have this back and forth for like 5 minutes, and we'll be like, you know what, Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah.
And then he'll give us his honest opinion, so that helps out a lot.
Do you guys get pissed at each other personally? I mean, Rhett and I, in a lot of ways, we spend so much time together for so many years that we even describe our own friendship more as like an old married couple.
Of course, yeah.
Like, we just get mad at each other. Like, Red gets mad at me because I'm so sensitive about things. Like, I get mad at him because not of what he says, but how he says it to me. And he's like, why are we arguing about this? You know, there's those type of arguments that have nothing to do with a video idea. They just have to do with, how are we getting along? Should we get counseling? Does that happen with you guys?
It's a weird dynamic because I think Ian is very, like I said, reserved. You know, he'll just keep his feelings in. I don't even know what he's feeling half the time. He'll just be quiet.
Yeah, I'm feeling right now.
But then do you bottle it up and then you let it out and you're like, shut up?
I feel like there's probably like 20 years of stuff that he hasn't told me about.
I haven't blown up on him yet. Have I?
I don't know. I'll kind of tell my feelings right away.
Yeah.
And you just won't.
I'll just sit there and just kind of nod and be like, yeah.
But you can tell he's upset.
Oh, yeah. But then it just is like, I don't want to keep nagging him to get it out of him. I'll just be like, all right, he'll tell me when he's ready. Nope, never going to tell.
Never.
Never.
It just goes away.
There's definitely been things that Ian has never told me that he was mad about that he just was like, okay. Quietness.
And what's your approach? I mean, what is it? Does it dissolve in the depths?
I think he
secretly hates me because he's never told me about all these things that
I'm about to get it out of him.
Counseling.
If I do, then I'm not going to tell you, right? Because that's how this goes.
That's true.
I could just be harboring these murderous rage feelings and you never know.
That's why I'm asking.
Do I harbor murderous rage for Anthony?
Sure.
I don't think so.
So it dissolves. It's not the type of thing that
Ian's getting uncomfortable right now. I can tell.
I've never been like to talk about his feelings. I've never been angry.
Welcome to Ear Biscuits.
I've never been like. I've just like. It's probably like in. I get really like easily like butthurt over acting direction. Because
you do, I would never know. I never knew that. Yeah.
For instance,
well, just because Anthony and I are really specific about like a certain way lines should be delivered and stuff, and we totally tell it to like other actors that come on our set. But then it's like when he gives like me a direction, like should do that better or something. You know, maybe he doesn't say that.
Say just do that better,
something like that. I definitely get butthurt over it, and then I realize afterwards, like, why did I get angry about that?
I'm just trying to make our video better or get an alternate take.
I just need to do that better.
For a while, I don't know if I ever told you, but I was like, I was a little mad because I would always give you a lot of direction and have you do like 20 different takes, and you would always be like, yeah, I think it's good. To my takes, and I'd be like,
yeah,
I want you to get the best out of me that I could get. I'm like, I'm just doing these weird stale takes, and you have all these like crazy takes that I like got out of you.
Our producer Ryan said that when I die, he's going to put on my tombstone the quote "whatever," because that's my common response to
what do you think about the shot?
I'm like, whatever. Or he'll be like, do you think we should shoot it like this, or do you think we should shoot it like this? I'm whatever. Like, whatever you think is better, man. Like, I'm definitely more of the go with the flow, path of least resistance type guy.
Ian's more into the writing and
yeah, but you did most of the writing at first. That it sounds like you guys balancing that.
It's hard to say because, I mean, like, sometimes, you know, Anthony would come up with an idea. Sometimes I would come up with an idea. But there was a time that Anthony was taking the brunt of the editing.
Sure.
So I was taking a brunt of the outlining.
And you're just an overall funnier person. So that was it.
Thank you, Anthony.
I always said that.
So but nice. were you very opinionated about the script? But then when it came to the other things, whatever.
And then, like, since I wrote the outline, and then Anthony would tell me things he didn't like. I guess I get butthurt over that too.
You get butthurt easily, but you never tell me.
It's just a creative thing. You take ownership over something, and then when somebody tells you that it's not good, you're like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Right.
For a while is Ian would get stuck in writing everything a certain type of way, and there was no evolution. It was just all a very safe, certain type of way, and I'd be like, we need to grow, we need to do things different.
Definitely.
Definitely. Right. Well, and, you know, we deal with this all the time with coming up with ideas and presenting ideas to one another, and, you know, we kind of develop this philosophy, and we don't do it. We try to do it, but we don't always do it, but, like, hold your ideas out here, and those who are listening, I'm holding it next to me instead of in front of me, so when somebody hates on your idea, they're not hating you, the individual, right? Yeah. And so you kind of learn a little. Okay,
I think the analogy is when somebody shoots down your idea, it doesn't hit you,
right,
with a bullet.
So you learn to take criticism, but it's tough. I think one of the dynamics is maybe the fact that you guys are in different cities, that actually may be something that I think the reason that Link and I are like, okay, you know, we have to get our feelings out there and we have to deal with this. Like every once in a while, it's like, all right, we're going to have a conversation. It's going to be a 2-hour conversation, but it's not about ideas. This is about our relationship with each other.
Damn, guys.
So we have to
they're around each other so much.
Yeah, but this is a 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. every single weekday, right?
Plus the commute. You're not counting
carpool. Plus the commute.
Carpooling together.
Yeah, and so, and because we are committed to this thing being an indefinite endeavor.
It's like marriage counseling.
Oh, definitely.
That's amazing.
No, we've actually talked about that. We're like, well, can you think we could
going to an actual counselor?
No, let me preface this by saying that I think we have a really good friendship because we talk about our friendship. It's like because we kind of deal with it on that level. But we had a guy come into the office to kind of like evaluate the team, like as a almost like a fun team building exercise. But he also helps you understand the different dynamic personalities and who can work together and where there might be conflict. And then we never did it, but we were like, I wonder what it would be like for us just to sit down with this guy and say, all right, you know how we're different. You see our personality profiles. Like, how can we work together better?
Yeah.
So I would not say, we need to go to counseling. But, you know,
my idea was to turn Ear Biscuits into recorded counseling.
That's what's happening right now.
I wanted to have counseling sessions, legitimate counseling sessions, couples therapy for the two of us, and then only if we can monetize it.
We needed a sponsor.
Well, those counselors are expensive.
Yeah, they are. Right.
And then you realize it's been broadcasted to, you know, 100,000 people or whatever, so you can't take anything back.
Yeah, we didn't do it. Yeah. But back to counseling, you guys. I think
like part of the way that we kind of fixed that creative hurdle that we were in was that now that we're both collaborating together, we're building those ideas together. Mm-hmm. Now instead of us talking about an idea, I write something and I come to Anthony and then he tells me what's
We have a much better process because before when we weren't collaborating together, we'd get down to like the end of a script and it would be so far gone. I was like, I can't just tear your idea to shreds.
Yeah.
But now I won't let an idea go unless I'm really happy with it, you know?
Yeah.
I won't let it get turned into a video.
What about the kind of division of characters?
All right.
I'm kind of curious how you guys would describe the on-camera versions of yourselves. I was going to say each other, but I think it's safer and fairer to describe yourself.
I'll let Ian go first.
Hmm.
Your on-camera persona.
Because you write for that.
Yeah.
Right.
But we kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I think we were... I think somehow we were... My character was more fleshed out than Anthony's was. Like, Anthony, we were... Basically, like, for a long time, I was kind of like the idiot. And Anthony was more of the straight character that was playing off of the... Of my idiotness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Idiocy.
Yeah, of my idiocy, I guess you say. And like, you know, about a year ago, Anthony was like, hey, like, we should probably try to figure out a way to make me more interesting.
I was like, look at every interesting...
Can you make me
movie.
More stupid? Is that what yeah. you're asking?
No, I'm like, look at every interesting duo in a movie. Look at Superbad. Like, those two have a great dynamic. Like, you could see one would be on screen, hilarious. One, the other one would be on screen by themselves, hilarious. But Ian and I, Ian was hilarious. And then I'm just like... No, stop being dumb. Like, always, that would be my character. So, so I guess that goes on to my character. It was just the straight guy that kept the story moving forward. But now I'm trying to evolve it a little bit because I was always jealous. I was like, Ian has all the funny lines.
Yeah. I mean, until we got to, like, unless we did, like, a thing where we played characters.
Right.
Like,
I mean, playing characters.
And stuff. We tried to divide, like, whenever we do, like, if movies are real or anything like that, we look at all the characters and we're like, okay, let's, like, evenly space this out.
I would kind of hate playing myself because I would just always be the, here's what I would say. Why are you doing that? Stop that. That's my voice in every single video, pretty much saying the same exact thing.
Well, did you, and how did you guys address that? Who brought it up?
I brought it up because I was so jealous of Ian's good lines and me just being the, what are you doing, guy?
Yeah, I mean, Anthony's he looks ahead to try to figure out how we can make things better. And then I'm more complacent. Like, I just...
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. So it's kind of an interesting thing because... Yeah.
We haven't exactly found a remedy for my character situation because we still want Ian's character to be similar to how it was because it's really good. And then mine, I'm like, how can I evolve this? You know, am I a smart ass? Am I overly confident with everything even though I'm, you know, not necessarily the smartest person?
Yeah.
That's kind of the way we're going right now.
Barry tried to explain it. He compared it to some old ass TV show that we'd never heard of because he's older.
Old people.
And he said it was like, is a character that's an idiot, but
a character that's dumb but thinks he's smart, and then the other person is dumb but thinks the other one is smart.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense,
right? Well, I think it would be encouraging for anybody who's trying to do anything creative to know that guys who have been doing this as long as you guys have, with the success that you've seen, are still trying to figure out something that could be considered that fundamental.
Yeah,
and let me tell you right now, we totally relate to that. We have fundamental level conversations about our comedy and, like, what is it we're trying to do, and, like, who are you supposed to be in this? And
and after, like, you know, 8-9 years of doing it, it's, you know, you're trying to figure out what to do next with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's, what are you trying to do next week with it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's the added pressure of doing something every week with really an expectation of never taking a break. Really? You can, but that's not the expectation. It's not like traditional media in terms of seasons or anything. Are you guys, do you experience more pressure at this point in your careers being, you know, at the top after all these years? Is the pressure even greater now? And what's the biggest fear?
I'd say the pressure is like almost a snowball effect. It's just more and more and more every year for me, at least.
To me, I think, you know, we've a main focus for years has been trying to get us on a good schedule, so like we're not killing ourselves every single week. Like oh crap, what's next week? You know. So I think in that regards, like we've like hammered out a really good schedule, so we're not going crazy.
But maybe it's not.
When's the last time we pulled an all-nighter? I mean,
we haven't pulled an all-nighter in like 3 years. And we used to pull an all-nighter almost every week.
Yeah.
But I don't really mean, I guess, the pressure to deliver on a schedule as much as the pressure to remain successful and more successful. I mean, you know, there's it's lonely at the top is right. how the saying goes. And there's, how do you stay there?
I don't feel the pressure to be successful. For some reason, I feel pressure to have the audience like what we're still doing. Have anyone that's watching it not be like, wow, this sucks compared to whenever. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to always be like, oh, you're growing, evolving, and I love this.
So are you're afraid that you're not going to be relevant? You're not afraid?
I mean, I guess that's somewhat there, but to me it's always been, I don't know, for some reason comments and the way that people react to videos has always been something that I take really close to heart.
I mean, mm-hmm. we haven't really worried. I mean, we just want to just try to grow our brand and just create good content. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, we're not really worried about quote-unquote success, but, you know, we just want to grow the brand and as long as we keep creating content that people enjoy, then the success will hopefully mm-hmm. follow.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, guys like you have been approached probably numerous times by different traditional media companies who want the Smosh TV show, who want the Smosh movie. How are you guys thinking about the moving forward into the future and all the things that you have? I mean, you guys launched a freaking magazine. You know, it's like you're kind of in a position where you can do what it is you want, and you're the ones who make those decisions. Yeah. I mean, how do you look into the next decade?
I mean, I think it's just about picking the right things.
We have all these things that we want to try, but then it always falls back to we can't stop doing YouTube on the schedule that we're on.
I mean, it's we just want to keep doing what we're doing right now, you know, with what we're doing.
What have you said no to? I mean, on a yearly basis, on a monthly basis, you guys have to be saying no. We don't want a television show on this channel. No, we don't want to sign this type of development deal for this type of television. I mean,
most of the things that we've said no to have only been because of the
creative differences.
I mean, that or the timing, because they'd be like, hey, we want you guys to try doing a TV show. If it gets picked up, you're going to be shooting for X amount of weeks every year. And we're like, we can't sacrifice that much time because we got to keep doing so much on YouTube and on our websites and stuff.
Right. I mean, you were there the night when we were in Miami, and we talked about this earlier.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we got the word that, hey, our television show got picked up. We got 10 episodes on IFC. And, you know, even in our minds, it was like, is this a good thing? And it sounds like you guys made a decision that you certainly had those opportunities. And if that was you instead of us, it sounds like you did say, no, I'm not even going to pilot something because we can't leave this space.
Right.
I mean, if we have the time, and if we have it all planned out, we're totally open to
Something like a TV show, though, you have to do recurring if it's going to be successful. But if it's something like a movie, which we're both interested in doing at some point, it's you could block out 20 days and you're like, we just got to get really ahead beforehand.
So what are you going to do? Is it a movie? Have you written the script?
We might in the future. We're really interested in it. But, you know, the overall plan for Smosh isn't just about Ian and I. So our main focus isn't, let's go do a movie. Let's go be huge Hollywood hotshots or whatever. Let's grow the brand and keep our comedy alive in as many different forms as we can. We have our gaming channel. We have a cartoon channel. We're trying to introduce new personalities that totally get our humor that we think our audience will like. You know, like they love all the Smosh Games guys now. And they love Mari. So those have been some personalities that we've introduced that totally get it.
So more of that type of thing too. Other Smosh properties.
Yeah, other people that we really love that we know that our audience will totally get.
Yeah, because I mean, like we can't create 50 shows ourselves, but we can create other shows that other people make that our audience can enjoy just as much as they enjoy watching our shows. And I think that's cool.
Is there anything somebody coming along and saying, here, boys, here's $20 million each to go live on an island and just wake up and have a drink every day and spend time with your loved ones. Is there anything at this point that would stop you from continuing to pursue this?
There's a part of me that would really like to do that.
Because I know how hard you guys work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
An island can get kind of boring. Yeah.
I mean,
what? Just insert whatever it is.
Let's just call it an isthmus.
Well, yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, it's still attached to land in some way. But what is it that, if anything, that would kind of say, oh, you know what? Okay, we don't have to keep pushing so hard.
I guess if I ran for president, I'd probably no, stop that.
I really love making the videos, and I really love just the reaction of the audience. And like I said, going back to comments, I love when people say they love what we made or what we had a part in.
Like Anthony and I have had this conversation like a million times. We're like, what the hell are we going to do after this? Like,
yeah.
And because, I mean, we love the whole process, and we love, you know, just making people laugh and having people enjoy the content. So, I mean, we want to keep doing what we're doing and then also, you know, expanding that so we don't have to have the same sort of workload when we're 40.
I'm not going to lie, though. It gets tough, and there's times where I really do, where I would take that offer for a certain amount of time. But, like, I go on vacation somewhere for a week, and it's, like, the most needed thing ever. And after I'm done, I get back home, and I'm like, all right, let's do this again. Yeah. I just love it so much. But, you know, I just feel like I need breaks in there.
Right.
I'm sure you guys can relate to that.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for coming in. It was good to get to know you, and now you got to sign this table.
Yes. You can grasp each other's hand and do the Ouija board technique to sign.
Should we draw the flying gas mask?
Yes, we should.
That's our ear biscuit with Smosh.
Tweet at them and let them know you appreciated the ear biscuit at Smosh Ian and at Smosh Anthony are their personal Twitters.
Hashtag ear biscuits. That's simple. That's good. That was smart. Thoughtful.
Yeah. Let them know that you're glad they came on. We appreciated that and their friendship as well. The $20 million question that you ask them.
The $20 million question.
Specifically, meaning the question about $20 million. Would you take the money and run? I'll put it back on you, since you asked them.
But it specifically involved an island.
Oh.
So
your answer was in the question. You're like, if I could take $20 million, I'd buy an island and ret and link.
Obviously, the nature of the question was, if you could just be totally set and have all the money that you need, the security that you want to, have the relationships with loved ones, and have peace and quiet, would you take all that to leave the career that you're doing? That was a question that I essentially presented to them. So putting what's your answer? Boy, here's what would happen. I'd take the money, the $20 million, and then I would immediately think, man, we could do something pretty awesome with this $20 million. We can come up with a really awesome idea to make happen. So I think the answer is...
Like a really big robot.
I wasn't thinking a robot, but I was thinking something a little more creative.
Think about
that.
How big the robot would be for $20 million.
Pretty awesome. Okay, $5 million towards an awesome robot, $15 million towards another idea.
But then you're like nickel and diamond. I mean, if I was, another million, he'll be like another 6 foot taller.
I think
then all of a sudden you got a $20 million, 130-foot robot.
And then what does he do? Does he then make money?
I think he's probably a movie star. I don't know.
He's very lifelike. He's a movie star robot.
Like, he's got human flesh on him and stuff.
I think it's going to take more than 20 mil.
Yeah, probably so.
I'll take 60 mil, maybe 80. I mean, freaking...
That puts things in perspective right there.
The stealth bomber is like $1 billion, man.
Yeah, that's what sucks about it. You think you're rich, and then all of a sudden you've built a fleshy foot of a robot, and you're like, I'm out. It's like those houses we used to encounter, like back in Harnett County, that would be half built. And I was like, oh, that would be a nice house if somebody completed it.
I think the honest answer is that I don't think there's any amount of money or any particular thing, relaxation or not, that I would be like, I don't want to keep creating. I get tired of certain things, right? Doing the same thing over and over again or whatever, but I don't get tired of
the job.
The job.
Yeah, we have a job, a dream job. I think that what I would do with the money, I would give the correct answer here, and I would say I would start an endowment for other people to have the freedom to follow in our footsteps.
Oh, that's nice of you,
No strings attached.
That's very nice of you.
and advance the cause of entertainment.
Well, the problem is you don't get the money unless you take it and go to the island. That's my stipulation. So, or you can't build a robot with it either. So forget that.
Oh.
Okay.
Your only requirement to get the 20 mil from our endowment is to listen to all Ear Biscuits. And look, you're already doing that. So you're well on your way, and we thank you.
Hold on. I think you just made a legal promise to lots of people about $20 million just for listening to every episode of Ear Biscuits. So as Link's unofficial legal counsel, I will say he retracts that statement. And we really do want you to listen to every Ear Biscuit, but you will not be receiving any money for doing so.
Thanks for leaving a review on iTunes. If you do that, you're back in the running for the 20 mil endowment.
Okay, you can officially be in the running for the non-existent $20 million endowment. Yes.
And if you use hashtag AirBiscuits to let us know, give us feedback on the show across all social media, you're in the top 10 for the $20 million endowment.
Well, okay.
That's how much
he would like to retract that statement. There is no top 10. There is no endowment.
But there is a 100-foot flesh-covered robot.
Oh, my
God. That will come to your house and present you with a check for $10
and
from us.
Footnote, all of this is imaginary, and including the robot, the flesh covering, and the check, and the endowment, and everything Link has said during the past 5 minutes. All imaginary, non-existent, end quote.
See you on the island.